to do that. So again, we had a few more come on. This is Matt Kuhn. I'm the National Sales Director with Pacesetter. Today, what we have on the agenda, to start out with anyway, is kind of just how to get your year off on the right foot. You know, being the 1st of January, it's always a great time to sit down and assess, put a plan together going forward. It's almost like we all get a fresh start at what's going on, not only how we, you know, set our goals, conduct our business, but, you know, also our past practices, see what we can improve on. It's like a great time to make any changes that we're gonna make. So the first thing that I'd like to bring up is just kind of goal setting in general, just kind of giving your sales, your production some direction, you know, as you head into a new year. I think having a goal down is very important, just so you know where you're heading and you can know if you're getting there or not. A lot of times we toil away and not sure where we're going, what the final result is that we're looking for. And it seems like in sales that it would be easy to just say, well, heck, I want to produce as much as I possibly can. Well, that's great, but then, you know, when you're not producing as much as you possibly can, you really don't know it. You don't have any point of reference. So for any of you guys that are seasoned, that goal setting is a lot easier because you know what you've produced in the past. So it gives you a much better point of reference of what your goal is going to be production-wise for this year. Something we like to look at in addition to that, and is especially helpful for new agents, is how much money do you want to make? Because most people can't necessarily tell you how many apps they want to write or how much premium they want to write, but they all know they have something in mind of what their income goal wants to be. How much money do they want? Or flat out, how much money do they need? You know, what do I need to make out of this? So that's a very good place to start at. Something that we at Pacesetter, and actually Jerry has always done before I even came to Pacesetter 16 years ago, was, you know, what Jerry refers to as a planned production method. And that's simply, instead of just, you know, hoping I can run a bunch of business, it's planning out your production and determining how much you're going to write ahead of time. And we actually have what we call a planned production calculator, which is a spreadsheet that you can punch all your numbers into your variables to tell you how you're going to get to that income. So the planned production calculator, if you want to make $100,000 a year after expenses, after lead costs, you know, after your persistency, so after your cancellations, everything, if you flat out say, I need to net $100,000, you can punch it into that and it will work backwards on everything and tell you how many leads a week you need to work to do that. So that calculator, we have that on our website, on our training site, or if any of you want to get your hands on it, just shoot me an email and I can send you a link for it. But it's very helpful. A lot of what we have in there is just based on, you know, proven numbers, proven averages from the final expense business, as far as close ratios, as far as persistency, as far as average annual premium. And those, I mean, it truly is in the final expense a numbers game. Once a person figures out they can do it, once they know what they're doing, it's just a numbers game. It's just getting out in front of the people. They know they're going to close that percentage. Here's what the annual premium is going to be out of them. So knowing those, you can punch that in, and that planned production calculator will tell you how many leads a week you need to work to get to that point. And then you can also adjust those variables. So if you know that your average annual premium is a little higher than the average guy, so your average annual premium is $850 or $900 a year, you can punch that in there and it'll make those changes on there for you. So that is a great place to start when it comes to setting goals for the year. because it's something that's tangible, not just how much business or how many policies, but how much money am I going to make off of it. So I think another thing when it comes down to goal setting, you know, whatever you decide your goal is, you know, I need to write $200,000 a year. I need to write $80,000 a year, whatever it is, write it down and hold yourself accountable to it. You know, it just becomes real, and hopefully you set a goal that you're not reaching every week, you know, that it stretches you enough. You don't reach it every week. But that's something you can look back on and know where you stand as far as that goes. And the other thing is to just simply tell somebody, whether it be your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter, your husband, your kids, whoever it is, tell them what your goal is. So then each and every week you have somebody else to be accountable for. And if you call, you know, let me know what your goal is and I'll help you stay accountable to it. I have no problem with that either. But one of the biggest, I think the biggest motivators, the biggest way to help you stick to your goal, if you set your goal on making a specific carrier's incentive trip. So if you say, my goal is to go on the Alaskan cruise with Security National Life. Well, set that goal and then go tell your wife that. Tell her we're going to Alaska. Or tell your wife you're going to Thailand or Hawaii or London. And that will keep you motivated in many, many ways. Once you tell them that, they're going to make sure you stick to your goal. So that's a great way to stay on top of it. I'll slow down and take a breath there. Does anybody have any questions, anything they want to add to that? That's very, very general, but just as far as setting a goal production-wise for the year. Great. And then the next thing I'd like to do is kind of nail down on that a little further. You know, we have a lot of agents that do a great job and are very profitable in what they do as far as the number of leads that they take and the production that they write off of those. For instance, say an agent that's on, you know, the lead program and takes 15 leads a week and goes out and writes $2,500 of business every week, which is great. You know, a parameter that we like to look at is premium per lead. Which if you're not familiar with that, that's how much annual premium, annual production per lead that you take out for the week. So if you had 15 leads and you wrote $1,500, that would be $100 of premium per lead, annual premium per lead. The parameters that we look at like that, you really have to be doing at least $100 premium per lead to make things work. If you're not doing $100 per lead, you're cutting profit margins pretty short. On the other end of that, if you're doing $200 of premium per lead, so if you take out 20 leads and you write $4,000 for the business each and every week off of that, then you're in very, very good shape. Most agents fall somewhere between that. Most agents fall somewhere between $150 of premium per lead and $200 of premium per lead, somewhere in there based on their skill, their work ethic that they put into working those. So that's kind of a good parameter for you. You know, if you can be between 150 or, well, we should put a cap on the top end. If you can be over $150 of annual premium per lead, then that puts you in a good situation to where you can have success and be very, very profitable in what you do. My point in getting to that was that, you know, we have a lot of agents that will take out, say, 15 leads and they're doing $185 of premium per lead. So they have great production, very profitable on the number of leads that they get, but still aren't happy with their overall income. They're not making as much money as they would like to make. The obvious solution to that is, one, figure out what that is that you want to make or how much that you want to produce, and then adjust your lead flow according to that. So if you're taking out 15 leads a week and you're reaching your premium per lead, but you know, you want to make more money, step that up to 20 leads a week or step that up to 25 leads a week. And that's something that we can definitely work with you on as far as, you know, if you step it up to 20 and you feel that that's getting to be too many for you, you know, we can step it back down the road. It's not like you're going to make a commitment that's going to sink you. But honestly, for most agents, they're simply, if you're a full-time, if this is what you do, if this is what you consider your source of income, your career, you know, there's no reason you can't work 25 leads in a week. Simply not. I mean, as far as the time it takes to work a lead, you know, you should be able to work 25 leads a week and not be in the field more than 4 days a week. And that's being very, very conservative. You know, we have a lot of agents, just to give you some perspective on the matter, we have a lot of agents that work 30 leads a week and aren't ever in the field more than 3 days. You know, they get up Monday morning, bright and early, to bust their butt Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by the time Wednesday's around, they have thoroughly worked those 30 leads. You know, it's a one-call close. They've got their answer on it. Either they wrote a sale, wrote an app or two on that lead, or they got a no and they're moving on. So if you think that it's too tough to work 30 leads a week, or you're not going to have the time to work 30 leads a week, we probably need to sit down together and kind of look at how exactly your process works and how you set your week up, because it simply shouldn't be that tough to get that done. But I know exactly how it goes. I mean, the people that are hesitant about going up to 25 or 30 leads a week, usually it's not the time restriction they're looking at. It's the investment. It's the, you know, if I'm taking 30 leads a week, I'm going to be spending $800 a week on leads or, you know, whatever it is. But once again, just make sure you keep in mind your premium per lead. If your premium per lead at 20 leads is good and you're profitable off of those, then you're going to do the same thing at 30 leads a week. You're just going to, your net profit's going to be higher at the end of the week on 30 than it was at 20. Any questions on that? Okay. Once again, please don't ever hesitate to interrupt me at any time through any questions or concerns that you have out. Kind of staying on that same topic, being profitable on the leads that you do have. You know, one of those ways to increase your premium per lead is referrals. So, you know, if you're say you're hovering between 100 and 150, you're not quite getting the premium per lead that you want, you know, look to referrals to be able to increase that premium, total premium you wrote for the week, you know, per lead. We've talked about referrals before, and we can bring that up down the road too, or if anybody wants to get into that right now, we can also do that. Just the best way to go about, you know, gaining referrals from clients after you make the sale or even when you don't make the sale. The next thing I wanted to talk about was just kind of structuring your week in general, and this ties in very heavily to the goal setting. You know, not only having a annual goal, you know, what do I want to accomplish by the end of the year? I want to make this amount, I want to write this amount, I want to qualify for these trips. But, you know, to break that down on a weekly basis, that's something that's much more tangible, much more realistic for you to look at, and has a greater impact on the motivation that it provides for you, because you do it each and every week. So, you know, if your goal is to write, you know, $15,000 a month, you know, break that down into your weekly goals. I want to write at least $4,000 of premium every week.
Hey, Matt.
Yep.
Hey, sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right.
Good feedback. I don't know if I'm the only one hearing that or.
Okay. I'll mute everybody in the meantime. I'm going to mute everybody here just to get rid of the feedback, and then I'll just open it up periodically here. Thanks, Ryan.
Okay. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Oh, is everybody there?
Yeah.
Did I mute myself?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I'll back up here. So I all right. So I've got everybody else muted except myself here. But you should have the ability to unmute yourself if you want to pipe in. What I was mentioning there when I had myself muted was. The importance of Mondays, you know, when you go to set up your week. So we talked about setting a goal, breaking that down into weekly increments. But I've harped on here many times before about how important it is to go out and have a good Monday. You know, having a good Monday, getting business on the books on Monday can change your whole week. It changes your perspective on the week. It changes how you sell. It changes how you're in front of a person. If you can have a good Monday, and that good can just be a matter of getting one app or two apps on the books on Monday, that can, you feel like you're playing with house money going forward. So whatever your approach is, if you're strictly a door knocker, get your butt up early, get organized on Sunday, get out the door on Monday morning and start pounding doors. If you're an appointment setter guy, that means that you need to dedicate a couple hours of your time on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon to sit down and call and get your appointment scheduled for Monday. When it comes to appointment setting, I mean, something that I've found anyway is Sunday late afternoon to be the absolute best time to set appointments, period. I have not found a time to get on the phone and call and have any better results than I do on late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. And I know the question I always get is, aren't people upset? That's the Lord's Day and, it's Sundays. And it's very rare that I have anybody that points that out or is actually upset about that. I would say maybe once a month, somebody says something about not being happy that I called on a Sunday. But even then, those aren't people that are irate or I lost it or anything. It's, this is Sunday. If you could, please give me a call tomorrow. And I politely say, oh, sorry about that. We'll talk to you tomorrow. But I think Sunday is the best time to call and set appointments. I worked out in the field this Monday, which was New Year's Day observed, which I don't ever, it just seems really odd to me. But it was actually a holiday on Monday. But it was great. I had 13 appointments when I walked out the door on Monday morning. And that was just because those phone calls on Sunday night, and that was actual New Year's Day, January 1st on Sunday night, when I got on the phone to make those appointments, and people were just very, very receptive. And part of that too, Monday was New Year's Day observed. So some of them that, had government jobs or regular 8-to-5s, a lot of them didn't work on Monday when they might've on a typical Monday. So, but either way, whatever your method is, if it's door knocking, if it's setting appointments, get out on Monday morning, get ahead of the game. And, and if that's that you go out and have a great Monday and you're a half or three quarters away to your goal, awesome. But even if that's one app, getting one sale on the books on Monday, you're going to feel so much better about it, the rest of the week. Because the flip side of that is the guy that says, well, Monday is my office day. Monday is my organization day. And I understand that. There's office days. There's times you got to get stuff done in the office. I just don't recommend that be Monday. I think to have that be Friday makes a lot more sense as you structure your week. Because if Monday's your office day, that's fine. Well, then you go out Tuesday and you don't have good results. So on Tuesday, Monday was your office day. You go out Tuesday and you're a door knocker. And things just don't go right for you, which we all know there's bad days. No matter how long you've been doing it or, how successful you are, there's bad days. Well, if you took Monday in the office and Tuesday happens to be one of those bad days, now all of a sudden it's Wednesday and you're starting to feel like you're behind the eight ball. Here it is Wednesday, I'm halfway through the week and I don't have any business on the books yet. That shines through. I mean, it shines through in what you're doing. You start to get down on yourself. When you do get into a house and you're in front of somebody, they feel that you're stressed and that you're, the commission breath, is what some people say, is that, you feel like you're just groveling. You feel like you're reaching to try to get absolutely anything accomplished that you can. But again, the way to leave that is to get out on Mondays. And that's not going to guarantee you have a good Monday. Maybe you do have a bad Monday still. That's fine. Well, now at least it's Tuesday, and I have a chance to start fresh rather than it being Wednesday. So, again, that's something I feel strongly about. If you have an office day or, a catch-up day or whatever it is, put that at the end of the week. not at the beginning of the week. And it sounds kind of silly to some because, you know, there's 7 days and they're all the same and you can, you know, produce on any single one of them. But the earlier in the week you get that done, the better off you're going to feel about it. So I'll unmute everybody here and give you guys a chance. If you have any questions, anything you want to add about, you know, structuring your week, setting it up so you can accomplish your goal by weekend. Does anybody have anything to add to that? Okay. A few other things that I wanted to touch on was just, you know, and I kind of mentioned it, you know, being the beginning of the year, chance to start fresh, really evaluate how you're doing things and what you may want to do differently. The general business side of it and the general organization side of it. One thing I do a lot of, and it's very simple and doesn't take very much time, is just tracking sales results. And some people say it's a waste of time and, you know, true salesmen don't track numbers and don't worry about this and that. And I think it's very important. You know, I can tell you, looking back, I think I started tracking almost when I started selling. So I could probably tell you back for the 15 years ago, how much business I wrote on any given week, you know, just by looking it up. What carrier was it with, how many apps, what the average premium was, everything you want to know about it, just because it's all in a spreadsheet. Not that looking back something that happened 15 years ago is important, but as you progress through this year and as you look to meet those goals, I think it's very important. So I have a simple spreadsheet, and I share this with anybody that wants it, that I use to track business. So I track how many leads are coming in every week, what I paid for those leads. Then at the end of the week, so Friday morning is when I sit down and get all apps submitted, and, you know, I'll put the numbers in that spreadsheet, and it literally takes 5 minutes on Friday morning to input that information. And it's something that as you progress, I think is invaluable, to make sure you're doing what you need to do. But, you know, so Friday morning I set apps, I'll just punch it in, you know, I had, you know, 30 leads, I wrote 14 applications, and then it's separated out by carrier, you know, $3,000 with Security National Life, $2,800 with Royal Neighbors, whatever it is, puts it by carriers, totals it up. And then there's a column that will tell you what the average premium per app was, and then a column that tells you the premium per lead. And again, the premium per lead is probably the most important out of everything on that spreadsheet that I pay attention to. And again, a big portion of that is not only in the goal setting and seeing if I'm meeting my goals, but also, you know, I have that broke down by counties and in some counties by zip. So I know how I'm producing in those areas. And, you know, I've been doing this long enough and work in the same areas long enough, I kind of know where I do and don't want to be at as far as geographies to work. But as you get going through that, you can look and you can say, you know, in Smith County, I'm only writing $130 a premium per lead. But if I look over here in Jones County, man, the last three times I've worked Jones County, I'm pushing $200, you know, $200 a premium per lead. Well, I need to find more Jones-like counties to work in. Or, you know, if you're working through four different counties, you know, at the end, once you've worked those a couple times, you'll just might look and say, well, you know, this county right here, Ellis County, I'm just going to drop that one off because it's not near as profitable for me. I don't do near the amount of premium per lead in that county as I do the other three counties. So I'm going to get rid of that county and just focus my effort. I'm just going to roll through the other three, you know, a bit more often than I do spending my time in that Ellis County over there. So I think that's something that's very helpful. So you know exactly where you're productive at and where you're not. And again, it might not be a huge thing. You know, if it was egregious, if it was you absolutely were horrible in one county, you would know that. You wouldn't need a spreadsheet to tell you that. But again, if you have four or five counties that you're rolling through, and one of them is, you know, 25% lower in premium per lead than the others, then, you know, you can get rid of that one and you can focus on the ones where you're more profitable at. And that's something that's going to add up for you and make a difference for you. So again, that's a spreadsheet that I have that tracks all results. I put leads in and track them by county, and I put sales results in and track it by week, and then also by county. More than happy to share that with everybody. It's actually on our training website, I believe, to where you can download it. If not, drop me an email, and I'd be more than happy to send that out to you. It's actually inside of that spreadsheet. There is multiple pages. One of the pages for tracking just leads and lead expense. Another page for tracking production. And then there's also a third page for tracking business expenses. Again, something that's important and can derail agents is, you know, tracking their expenses, running their business, and ultimately what those two things boil down to is paying their taxes. And that expenses spreadsheet can be very helpful in that, in breaking down your expenses week by week. And it's something that it just makes your life easier, you know, this time of year or in February here, when it comes time to see the accountant. If you take time to put those expenses in, you know, once a month or so, well, at year end, it's easy for you. You know exactly what you spent on leads, you know exactly what your fuel costs were, your mileage, your meals. Everything's broken down in there already. So again, that's just something that's within that spreadsheet that's very helpful, can make your life easier. Kind of to stay on that topic too, I know some of you guys on here are just getting started, or you've been selling for 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is. You know, make sure you get a good accountant. Don't try to go at it alone when it comes to filing. So, you know, find an accountant that is experienced in Schedule C. I mean, most of you guys are sole proprietors, but find somebody that knows what a Schedule C is. I wouldn't just go to H&R Block. I'd ask one of your buddies that owns a business or self-employed who they see and get a referral on it. But make sure you find an accountant that you're comfortable with. And it'll be something too that, you know, the first time you meet with them, you're going to have to explain to them what it is you do and how that operates, because they're probably not going to be real clear on it. But once you walk them through that, I mean, I've had the same accountant for 17 years, and he knows exactly what I do and how it works, and knows how to go about being as favorable to me as he can. So that is something that I recommend. I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody again here. Does anybody have any questions, concerns, anything they want to add to that?
Hey, Matt. Yep. Reeve Watchkin. Yeah.
Hi, Reeve.
Hey, I got a question. What website can I? I don't know. Being a new agent and everything, I'm not sure what the website is where I can go and access this stuff just to read it and kind of fill you from the myself. Either email me that link or give me that website.
Yep, I'll throw it out for everybody. So the stuff I was talking about that's on the website. So our main website, our homepage is www.pacesetteradvantage.com. Okay, and then the stuff, that's our homepage, and then the training materials, the spreadsheets, the plan production calculator, all that stuff I've mentioned, that's on our training website, which just adds /training at the end of that. So, paysetteradvantage.com/training, We'll take you directly to all that. That material is password protected, so there'll be a little button at the top that says online training. If you click on that, the password is agent-training. It's a tricky one. It's top secret. Agent-training is the password. And again, if anybody has trouble getting into that, drop me an email. I can send it all out to you also. But that's all on me.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, well, I want to go ahead and open this up for any questions anybody has on leads, carriers, products, objections, any hurdles, not only sales objections, but hurdles. What are you finding difficult? Where are you struggling at? Anything like that, because there's people on here that, you know, even in addition to myself, when I look at the list of who's on here, other people that are seasoned veterans agents that can help you out with that. So anybody have any questions on leads, products, anything?
Hey, Matt, I got a quick question for you.
Go ahead, Ryan.
If you're going to be outdoor knocking, do you have any apps or anything that you use, Garmin, et cetera, that will route the most effective way to run those addresses?
Yeah, you know what I do? I know I've looked at some other apps, and I've talked to people that use those. Can you guys mute your phone? I'll just mute this here while I'm talking. I'll take it back off. I've talked with guys that have used different kind of routing softwares, whether it was, you know, a standalone or a website or whatever it is. Now I do use a Garmin in my vehicle, you know, that's snapped onto my windshield. And you know, nowadays every smartphone will do that for you too, but I'm on the phone constantly all day long, it seems. So, I'd prefer to have a standalone GPS. But then as far as routing goes, Ryan, what I've found to be true for years and years, if you take your leads and then, number one, separate them out by zip code. So let's say they're not all in the same zip code. So say you have, you know, a stack of Denver leads, and there's, you know, you have your 20 Denver leads, and, you know, 8 of them are in this zip and 12 of them are in this zip. Separate them out by zip first. Then the next thing that I would do after that is I found that zip plus 4, so, you know, you've got your 6-digit zip code dash and then the plus 4. I found if you put them in numerical order by the zip plus 4, that does a really good job of routing you out in a logical geographical order. You know, so if you take that zip plus 4 and organize them by that it'll put you, so you're hitting, like I said, it's not perfect, but it does a very good job of making it logical when you go around, so you're not running from, you know, the east side of Denver to the west side of Denver, only have to turn around and run back to the east side of Denver again. So that's what I do. Now, let's say you have, you know, maybe you're working a little more rural area, and there's, you know, you've got 25 leads, but they're in, you know, 6 different zip codes, just because there's not, you know, it's much more rural. What I do then is just get on, I mean, you can do it on Google Maps. I actually use a site that's called hugemaps.zip.info, I think. If you just search for huge maps, you'll find it. But you can, it's a great zip code map that you can just like zoom in to say Denver, and it just shows simultaneously all the different zip codes in Denver and where they're at. So if I've got 6 different zip codes that I want to go out and, you know, knock on, then I'll just look on that and find, you know, say a clockwise pattern according to that, and then put those zip codes in order on there. And again, that'll make sure I'm not running, you know, past one zip code to get to the next or back and forth or anything like that. So, but I found that zip plus 4 to be really helpful for me in that. Does anybody else have any specific software that they use? Anything that they like, that they map out with?
Bring up Trips and Streets, or?
Yeah, you use that. I think that's, is that kind of just similar to like a, what Google Maps would do for you? Does that let you put in multiple addresses and then hit like optimize? Okay, I know there's some software out there. I've never used any of it, but I know there's some, and I think maybe even online, that, you know, if you wanted to, you can sit down and type in 15 different addresses and then hit optimize, and it'll order them for you. You know, change the order to make sure that they're in perfect, you know, logical order. And I used to, I mean, when I first started selling, first of all, I never set appointments. I was strictly a door knocker for whatever it was, 6 years, 7 years. And so what I used to do is, you know, if I was going to Des Moines, Iowa to work, I would get on the computer and I would print out a map of Des Moines, Iowa, and then I would go through and plot every one of those leads on that map and then put the leads in order according to that. But I found that, you know, over time, that my Zip Plus 4, it takes me about 30 seconds to put them in that order, and it does almost as good a job as plotting each one out, which, you know, sometimes would take me an hour to do. So I just kind of reverted to that just for the simple time saving.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, absolutely. Anybody else? I appreciate that question, Ryan, because I know that it's something that we all deal with, and it doesn't matter if you consider yourself an appointment setter or door knocker or whatever it is. There's, we all have some degree of going out and pounding pavement and having to run down leads. So any time we can save on that helps. Anybody else have any questions? Concerns? Even specific scenarios that they've ran across, you know, in the past week or two, cases they were baffled by, whether it was the objection or the existing coverage they had, or underwriting situation, didn't know where to place them, anything like that. Okay. A few other things I got on my list here. I want to get a few group me text groups started up, just to kind of help support agents where they're in the field. And so what that would be, group me is just an app on your phone, just like texting somebody. It's got a few differences. One, we can put a larger number of people on there. Like if I do group text from my phone, I can only have 10 people on there, but with group me, we could have, you know, 50 people on there if we wanted to. If anybody is interested in being on that, please shoot me an email and I'll make sure you get included on it. But that's going to be a great way for both new agents and experienced agents. The few things that we can do with that. One, if somebody's in a house and has an emergency question, if you're sitting in front of a client and you don't have the Security National Life height and weight chart with you, you can easily jump on there. You ask somebody, what is the maximum weight for somebody that's 5'7" in Security National Life? And immediately, you know, 25 people would see that and somebody would be able to respond to you immediately on it. So any kind of underwriting questions when you're in a house like that, you'll be able to throw them on there and get an answer in a hurry from people that know what they're talking about. Also, you know, it'll be a great way for people to share successes and frustrations also. Being a final expense agent can be a lonely job. It's a man on an island a lot of times. You don't have the coworkers to, you know, to meet at the water cooler and share anything with. So it'd be something that people can just stay in touch. If they have a case they need help with, they have a big case they wrote and they're pumped about it and they want to share that, that's awesome too. I mean, because that's something that gets everybody excited and motivated. So if you want to be on that GroupMe chat, send me an email and I'll get you on there. I just want to make sure that I'm not putting anybody on there that just doesn't want to be on there. So that's why I'm kind of asking for permission and people that want to be included. Another thing, I'm getting ready to revise our field underwriting guide, or cheat sheet, as a lot of people call it. And so if you have anything that you feel needs to be added to that, please let me know. Or just if you see any typos or anything you think's not correct on there, any errors on it, let me know on that too. I know something that I've seen that I needed to add was somebody wanted to see prison time, jail time, felony convictions, because we don't have that as one of the underwriting categories on there. So I'll get that added. And I've got a few other notes, but anything you want added on there, please give me a holler. Again, we talked, our training site has a lot of material on it. PayCenterAdvantage.com/training, password dash training. If you have any trouble getting on there, give me a holler. The last thing I wanted to bring up too was our lead co-op program. We have a lot of agents that are taking advantage of that and saving, you know, hundreds, if not a grand or two a month, you know, just based on their production and the lead credits that they get off of that. Flyer for that's on the website. Also, Security National Life, don't forget they have a 10% lead credit based on your production. They credit that every Monday, and you can use that lead credit towards our lead program. So, you know, once you have that, all you do is shoot me an email and say, hey, I want to use my Security National Life credit, and then that'll be deducted off your lead invoice, and we take care of that directly with Security National Life. I think that's all I have. Last chance, anybody have anything they want to add? Any questions? Okay, I think we're looking at next week having a conference call again on Friday, and what I'm trying to arrange there is to get Security National Life on the call with us, let them kind of go over their program, and then if anybody has specific Security National Life issues, questions they want to talk about, we'll be able to do it at that time too. So, as always, always available if you have any questions, concerns, don't ever hesitate to call, email, text, whatever it is. So, that being said, I hope everybody has a great weekend and is excited to get off to a very successful 2017. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Take care.